Genre: Realistic Fiction. Realistic fiction deals with characters and events that seem real but are created by the author. As you read, notice how the author makes the characters and events come to life. Question of the week: What inspires people to act courageously? What the Storm Brought. Written by Victoria Pinto. Illustrated by A. Corazon Abierto. Alonso, stop gazing through the window as if it were the end of the world, my mom told me as she passed, with her arms full of wooden boards. The truth is, it could easily be the end of the world. A hurricane was on its way, and we were making the necessary preparations. You know, boarding up the windows and stocking food, etc. The hurricane should be here tomorrow, Mom. They said it on TV. Are you sure I can't go out? I'm literally dying of boredom, stuck in all day, I said, being intentionally dramatic. That's great, sweetie. Then you don't have to worry about the hurricane, my mother answered in her usual matter-of-fact manner. She's always so cool and knowing. I couldn't fool her for one second. She works as a lifeguard for our town of Punta Cana, and she knows everything there is to know about storms, hurricanes, and safety. I was still moping by the window when I heard something far away on the beach. It was Joanna playing with a four-wheeled motorbike. That was so Joanna. She always has the coolest things. Look, I shouted. Joanna is out there. That means I can go out. That's weird, Mom said, coming to look with me. She took a moment to consider and then said, Fine, I guess you can go out. But only if... Yes! Oh gosh, free at last, I screamed, without letting her finish, as I jumped into my sneakers. Be back here in 2 hours tops, I heard her say as I slammed the door shut behind me. It was easy to spot Johanna in her purple jacket and red cap. It was cold and breezy, but I was so happy to be out. Also, I was dying to try her bike. I'm obsessed with bikes. I have all the magazines on the subject that my allowance can buy. I couldn't believe Johanna had one right there. And she only comes down here from Santo Domingo on the holidays. This had to be destiny, right? Hey, Joanna, I said, greeting her with a high five. Alonso, I thought no one was allowed out today. I know, but I convinced my mother. How did you manage? Cool bike. My dad gave it to us last week, and there's no way I was going to let my brothers use it first. So I escaped Laura and came to try it. I just can't make it work again, she said while pushing it. That's because you have it in neutral, I explained. You could tell she had no experience with bikes. Johanna's father always gives her great gifts. Mom says he does it because Joanna doesn't have a mother. I never say anything, as I wouldn't want to hurt her feelings. But I sometimes wonder what Joanna feels about it all. Well, Laura must be searching for you like crazy, given the weather and all, I said, trying to sound cool. I didn't want Joanna to think I was scolding her or anything. Besides, Laura wasn't the nicest of nannies. They were always fighting. Johanna, her two older brothers, her nanny. She calls her her permanent companion, and a crowd of housekeepers normally come to the beach at this time of the year. Her family owns the large house next to ours. Mom and I have lived here ever since I can remember. Our modest house is on Bavaro Beach, in between Johanna's house and a massive hotel. Sometimes Johanna stays up to 3 months, and we go beachcombing for shells and stuff, shoot the surf in our kayaks, or snorkel. Occasionally, we hang out with Laura while she sunbathes and makes snide remarks about the tourists or their swimsuits. Laura can be really mean, and that's why she and Joanna don't get along. However, we're nice to her, so she lets Joanna hang out with me and my friends. Of course, not today. The beach was deserted, even in front of the hotel. I started to wonder if it was a good idea to be out after all. Here you go, I told Joanna as I applied the brake and shifted the bike into gear. Get on and slowly release the brake. Oh, thank you, Alonso. You seem to know your bikes.
I do. I love bikes, and this one's awesome.
Would you like to ride it for a bit? Joanna offered, noticing my enthusiasm.
Well, okay, I answered, as if it were no big deal, although I couldn't believe I was actually going to try it.
I sat on the leather seat, and just as I took hold of the handlebars, we heard thunder rumbling loudly in the distance. It scared me, and I looked up. The wind had picked up, and the sea had begun to look decidedly menacing as the waves began to crash down onto the beach.
Maybe we should head home, I said, not sounding as cool as I would have liked. The wind was beginning to worry me, and I had a feeling it would only get worse.
What? Why?
Because of a bit of thunder and some extra waves? Joanna teased.
Please don't go. I'm really, really bored. My brothers are playing a stupid baseball game with my father. Anita is making dinner, and Laura won't look at anything that's not her phone.
Besides, tomorrow we definitely will be locked in all day, she pleaded.
I knew from past experiences that we shouldn't be out. However, I felt a mixture of uneasiness and excitement. Uneasiness because I didn't want to leave Johanna alone, especially when I knew she would probably stay out, and with everyone in her house distracted with other things, it wasn't likely they would come looking for her. And I was excited, as the weather was turning the day into a bit of an adventure. Eventually, Joanna made things really easy for me.
If you're that worried about the weather, we can shelter in the mall. Whatever happens, I won't be going home. So you can either come with me to the mall or go back to your house, she said insistently.
I was thinking it over when she added cunningly, I will let you ride the bike all the way.
I was immediately sold.
After all, my mother had given me 2 whole hours, right? And I couldn't leave Joanna alone in that terrible weather.
Okay then, I said with an involuntary chuckle.
Joanna sat behind me, and I started the bike. Just then, a squall hit us and sent Joanna's cap flying and swirling over the sea until it landed on the end of a natural stone surf break in front of us. Joanna went running after it. She had to love that red cap. She always wore it.
Hey, Joanna, wait up, I screamed, jumping off the bike and running after her.
We reached the end of the surf break, but the cap was out of reach, stuck between 2 rocks.
Ugh, she said frustrated. Let's just forget it and go to the mall.
That red cap is going to be lost if we don't get it now.
Are you sure you want to leave it? I asked.
She said she was sure. I didn't insist on it because any minute now, I would be riding the bike to the mall.
Okay, I said to Joanna as we sat on the bike again. We will go to the mall, but we can only stay for 1 hour.
All right then, Joanna answered, her face brightening. Drive away because I really want to try those new sour gumballs at the candy store. I started the bike and showed Joanna how to shift the gear from neutral to drive. She concentrated and seemed to get it right away.
I will ride it back, she stated.
Maybe I shouldn't have taught her so quickly.
The mall is located inside the big hotel. It's only a few clothes stores, a pharmacy, but it has a big gift shop with an entire aisle for candy. The grounds of the hotel were deserted. We rode along the garden paths at our leisure until we arrived at the front of the mall. I was nervous, not only because of the responsibility of riding the bike without falling or crashing, but also because I was starting to suspect this hurricane was a bigger deal than I had expected. Behind me, Joanna was giggling and making total crazy plans about everything we could do now she had the bike.
We could go to that beach on the other side of the island that's great for snorkeling, you know?
That would drive Laura mad, having to accompany me and stand on the shore while we swim out and spend all day looking at all those fish.
She hates the sea.
She can't even swim, she babbled.
We got off the bike and walked with difficulty toward the entrance. The wind was gusting so hard, you would say it didn't want us to buy candy.
Alonso, my gosh, what are you doing here? we were stopped by a strong voice I recognized immediately. It was Miguel, who worked as a lifeguard and who worked with my mom. "Hey, Miguel, check out my new bike," Joanna said, ignoring the urgency in his voice. "We just came to buy candy," I said, sensing there was something I should have been apologizing for. "Kids, please," Miguel said, "get on that bike, return home immediately, and don't come back out until the hurricane has passed. Do it now, or I will take you myself," he threatened. "Ugh," Joanna said for the second time that day. It was turning out to be a frustrating day for her. "Why is everybody making a big deal about this?" she asked. "Thank you, Miguel," I said. I took Joanna's hand and almost dragged her back to the bike. Convincing Joanna to get back to her house proved to be impossible. "I won't go back," she grumbled. "There's no one to talk to and no electricity." "You can play with your brothers," I suggested. "Ha! As if they could stop talking about sports for a second. Besides, they like to pick on me when my father isn't looking." "What about Anita then?" "Helping her cook and bake cookies is fun for a while, but it soon gets old." "What about Laura?" "Laura is dumb." "What will you do then?" "I'll stay on the beach riding with my bike." "I know. Come to my house," I proposed. Joanna seemed to be fine with that. Back at my house, the day only got darker and colder. I grabbed some blankets and Mom offered us some milk and chocolate chip cookies. She told us we would take Joanna home later. Joanna and I sat in the living room and chatted. As I got up to make some popcorn, I looked through the window and saw Laura pacing the beach and shouting something I couldn't hear. "Hey, Joanna! Laura is on the beach! Do you think she is looking for you?" Joanna stood up and came to look. "I don't think so. She must be trying to get a better signal on her phone or getting some exercise." But it wasn't difficult to see that something was up. Laura was moving erratically and screaming something. "Joe, I really think she's looking for you." "I assure you she isn't," said Joanna, with a touch of doubt in her voice. "Let's eat the popcorn, and then your mom can take me home." But then, to our alarm, we saw Laura walking along the stone surf break despite the waves that were crashing around it. "What is she doing?" we both exclaimed. I couldn't imagine why Laura would want to go out there. Then, she kneeled and spread her arms in front of her, as if reaching out for something. "She must be trying to get your red cap," I realized. "The one you lost earlier." I turned to see Joanna looking confused. "Maybe she is looking for me after all." "I definitely think so. Maybe call her and tell her." But I couldn't finish my phrase because suddenly there was a bright flash across the sky that followed almost immediately by a deafening thunderclap. The lightning lit up the scene on the surf break, and we looked on, horrified as a wave washed over it, taking Laura into the water with it. My brain shifted into action mode. I rushed out of the door and straddled the bike. Joanna was already running towards the surf break when I passed her. I brought the bike to a screeching halt at the foot of the surf break. Without thinking, I leaped out of the saddle and dived into the water. I could hear Joanna screaming at me from the beach as I swam to where we saw Laura disappear. Laura sure couldn't swim. I found her and managed to get her back to the beach. Luckily, she didn't weigh a lot and wasn't wearing much in the way of clothing. Joanna helped me drag Laura a few meters over the sand. "Oh gosh," Joanna sobbed. "Why would she do that to reach my goofy red hat? She hates the water." In my mind, I was going through the steps of the first aid that my mom had drilled into me. First, the ABCs. Airways. I checked that her nose and mouth were clear. Breathing. Laura wasn't breathing. Circulation. I searched for a pulse. "Joanna, go find my mother! Tell her to bring the first aid kit," I commanded. "No, I won't leave Laura alone. Just tell me what to do," she said. I was on the verge of tears, but I opened Laura's mouth to check again for blockage. What came first? Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Or compressions on her chest. Just then, I felt a pair of reassuring hands on my shoulders. It was Mom! She quickly checked Laura's mouth. I told her the airways were clear. Then, Mom checked for a pulse on Laura's neck and immediately started giving her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Then, Mom started the compressions on Laura's chest. 5 times, and then back to the mouth-to-mouth. All the while, I held Joanna as she sobbed. After what seemed an eternity, Laura coughed and expelled water out of her mouth. "Breathing again, kids," my mother said, looking at us reassuringly. "Laura's going to be fine." We cheered. I opened the first aid kit my mom had brought with her and prepared the gauze and disinfectant for the cuts and bruises Laura had gotten on the rocks. She was still confused and in shock, but in a moment of clarity, she would ask what had happened and if Joanna was safe. Joanna was very surprised to hear how worried Laura had been about her. "I'm here, Laura," she reassured her over and over. The ambulance my mother had called arrived shortly, and my mother, Joanna, and I accompanied Laura to the hospital, where they called Joanna's father to let him know what had happened. Mr. Fuentes was very upset when he came to pick up Joanna and Laura. He looked distraught and had tears in his eyes. He hugged me so hard, I thought he was going to break my ribs. Laura thanked me too. Joanna didn't leave Laura's side for even a moment. I felt weird accepting all those thanks and hugs. I did what I had to without thinking. And anyway, it had been my mother who had saved the day. The next day, the hurricane touched down mildly. We stayed at home, and by the afternoon, the sun was shining, and the tourists were returning to the beach in front of the hotel. Mom had told everyone about me rescuing Laura from the water, and she was making me feel embarrassed. All our friends had called, and I had heard her mentioning something about telling the story on the local news. I dreaded the idea. I hate news. I was still a bit shaken because of Laura's accident, but really glad that everything turned out okay in the end. I have to admit, I was also thinking a little about what had happened to that rad bike we had left over by the stone surf break the day before. I couldn't see it anymore, and I assumed the hurricane had taken it into the sea. I wanted to go out and maybe search for it, but my mom didn't let me out as a precaution. None of my friends were let out either, and that made me feel better. At 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I was fighting off Mom's kisses and extra attention when the bell rang. "Open up, Alonso!" I recognized Joanna's excited voice on the other side of the door. When I opened it, there were Joanna, her father, Laura, and even the 2 brothers. And they had brought along the 4-wheel bike as well. "Oh, Joanna! Your bike has survived!" was all I thought to say. I noticed the bike was all cleaned up and had a nice blue bow stuck on one of the handles. Despite myself, I started thinking the unthinkable. Was I really that lucky? Joanna's father took a step towards me and hugged me once more. "Son, you've been very brave," he announced. "Joe has told me how much you love this bike. Please accept it as a thank you from all of us." I lifted my head and looked at every one of them in total disbelief. "You deserve it," said Laura, with the first smile I had ever seen on her. The brothers appeared to be fine with it too. "Oh, Alonso, please just take it already and stop gawking," Joanna said with a smile. I couldn't wait to show it to my friends.